Thanks, Martine. Thank you, everybody. This is definitely my home meeting. I love you guys. So hopefully what I say will help some people. So I'll start with growing up, my first experiences with food. I think I was fine until my mum died when I was 10, and then I lived with my dad and his soon-to-be wife. And one thing I was able to control was going to the shop and buying lots of junk food and eating it. And I was never managed to make myself sick, so I was more binging. And then in my early teens, I would restrict going to school. I wouldn't eat anything all day other than an apple, and then have dinner, and that would be it. And then I'd be doing exercises at night to try and burn off what I'd eaten. And so food's been a big issue for me for, most of my life that I can remember. And in my early 20s, I started exercising, and then I don't know. Now I would call it over-exercising. I used to go running nearly every day in the mornings, but I think I saw it as just being fitness. I didn't see it as being an issue at the time. It's only now, looking back, I can see, well, to do it every day was a lot, but now I hardly do any. So I don't know what's the right thing. But and then I had problems with my mental health in my first marriage, and that led to divorce. And my first husband, he was a chef, so I didn't have to think about my food for years. He just did it all, and I ate it despite the fact I was a didn't eat meat. I was a vegetarian, and he considered it his greatest life achievement to get me onto meat. So once I got rid of him, then I also got rid of the meat again, so that was good. But preparing my own food was a bit of an issue, and I got with my husband now, and he could eat a lot more than I could, but we were enjoying learning to cook together. He'd always lived on his own and didn't really make too much effort for himself either, in the same way I hadn't. So we were enjoying food, and he was enjoys his snacks, and I would snack with him, and I put on a lot of weight quite rapidly over the course of a year. And so then I was like, oh my gosh, I really need to sort this out. So then I invested loads of time and money into personal training, Slimming World, Fit Farm, repeat retreats, that sort of thing. I managed to lose the weight. We got married, and I was a good way at our wedding. That was good. And then I got pregnant, luckily. And both pregnancies, I was first pregnancy, I just struggled to have any switch or off switch when it came to sugar. And so I completely ballooned, but then I lost it all within 5 months, I think, afterwards, which was quite pleased with. And then my second pregnancy, I just had no control with sugar. I just was eating sugar all the time. They even told me they thought I might maybe had gestational diabetes, and I still was couldn't put down the sugar. I was just hooked on it. And then Amelia was born, and I did my best to lose the weight again afterwards, but I still was just been binging here and there. And my auntie was over from they live in California and France, and she was staying with us, and we'd been eating all these things, and she's like, oh, have you ever thought about doing Overeaters Anonymous? And I was like, oh, hold on a minute, I did not know that was a thing. And I was in from the minute she said it. I thought, wow, that is amazing. I'd given up drink, I don't know, about a year beforehand, before that anyway, but having given up the drink, then food became more of an issue. And so yeah, I just got straight onto it, really. After she left, like whenever I had a spare half an hour or an hour or something, or I thought I could multitask with what I was doing, then I would dial into a meeting, and I broke all of the rules. I was saying this someone the other day, I wasn't in a meeting from the beginning to listen to the rules. I was just joining them all over the place, and I was moving around, and I was eating, and I was just a car crash. So some of you probably remember that from me a year and a half ago. I don't know. But one thing you probably will remember was I really wanted to share in the meetings. And so sometimes I would say, oh, I'll do the big book reading, and I'd try and talk about the reading, but I didn't really have any much experience or knowledge to be able to say anything useful anyway. And then I would do my share. But I've learned a lot since then. And I gain so much from listening to other people doing their shares. Whether I share or not is not a big deal anymore. So my auntie, who told me about OA, she's been in Al-Anon for as long as I can remember anyway. And I'd coached somebody who'd been in AA, so that's how I knew a bit about the program already, which is how when I heard of it, I thought, yes, that's definitely what I need. I didn't do AA when
So
I gave up the
reminded.
drink. Thank you. Is that 5 minutes? Thank you. I didn't. I just gave up drinking by myself. But I thought if I was, I thought I just don't have time for all these meetings. I don't know how people do it. But so I thought I'd do it without, which was fine. But then when it came to food, I was like, yes, I need that in my life. And I'm happy to invest the time and the effort and do this work through the questions and work with the sponsor. And, when it came to food, I was like, I really need this help. And when I started, I didn't realize what a spiritual program it was, or it is. I did start going to church again around the time that I started away. I'm not really sure quite how that happened, but it just did. And I went to church again today, and I love going to church, and I love the worship and the closeness to God. And this program really has, helped me with that. The two things coinciding is really amazing. But I definitely feel more supported through here and through you guys than I do through the church. That's just once a week, and even like in-person meetings for OA would have been once a week, or you'd have to go drive to different places on different evenings. And with small kids, I literally would not have been able to do it. Literally because of Zoom and our phones and people wanting to talk to me during the day, that I've been able to do it all. So grateful to God and grateful for all of that. So I started OA, and I was abstinent for 4 months, which was over Christmas, pretty much straight from the beginning, in terms of not binging anyway, not having sugar. Then I think the honeymoon period wore off a bit. I had started off with a sponsor in this meeting, then another sponsor in this meeting, and then we just struggled with the time zones and things. And so I then went to the Heart of England conference in July last year in Birmingham in UK, and connected with some people really deeply on some levels. And so I carried on being in touch with some of these people as time went on. And then when I realized with the sponsor at the time, I was like, we just can't get the timing to work for both of us. So I asked one of these people that I'd connected to at the conference if there's any chance she might be my new sponsor. And she said she was just talking to somebody about maybe at the moment, and asked me to put together a job description of what I wanted my sponsor to be. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. But I put a list of things and said yes to them all. So that was a great fit, and she was happy to take me on. So that's been amazing. And we talked a lot at the beginning. And she got me through the steps. Step four was a struggle. I had a lot of or a few big family bereavements during the time I was doing my steps, and her saying to me, I'm here for the long term, take your time. And that was just so what I needed to hear. And I didn't drag my heels. I did keep working on it when I could, but obviously when they were ill or whatever, and we were driving around to see them all the time, it was very difficult. But I really wanted the recovery and the closeness to God and the commitment, and I wanted to keep my sponsor. I wanted to keep working the steps, so I did. Yeah, four was tough. One of the best things my sponsor said to me as I was going through the steps was to two or three fellows about the step that you're working on. And at the time I was like, oh, but I hear them all in the meeting anyway, but it was amazing. And some of you know, because some of you got those calls that I was ringing up, can you tell me about this step? Can you tell me about that step? Can you tell me about this step? And but I'm so grateful for that, because it really helped me bond and ring people who I wouldn't normally have rung. I wouldn't have been brave enough to ring. Like, I'd ring people who I thought I had something in common with, or who was having a tough time, or someone that I thought I could might have some idea that might help, or something like that. But ringing people that were further along the journey, even now, I'm still too scared to ring Blythe, for example. But yeah. So then I went to finish up. Then the last few steps we got through quite quickly, and the 10, 11, 12 was just incredible. I just had this, they talk about this spiritual awakening, and I just felt so alive. I had this like fire inside me. It was incredible. And going through doing the readings, and so with my sponsor, I'd do the readings in the big book and the 12 and 12, the OA one, and highlight them, and then I'd read her the bits that stood out for me. And yeah, I just felt incredible as I was doing those finals. I just felt it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And then my son got diagnosed with leukemia in February this year.
That's
And
terrible.
we had, thank you, we had 2 weeks in hospital, as most of you know, but somehow I managed to stay abstinent through all of that, thank you God. And yeah, it was a challenge, but I was just so grateful. And there's other things I've given up along the way as well. Like I got in, one of the things I would do when I felt hungry was to have a Diet Coke or Coke Zero or something like that. And I got hooked on them. I started off with one a day, then two a day, then it went up to like three or four a day. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. And so I managed to pray about that and drop. It was hard, but I managed to give those up. Then I was drinking, or in addition to that, I was also drinking excessive teas and coffees, like ridiculous amounts. Like a 4-pint thing of milk would go within a day within our house, and it was really mostly me that was drinking it. It was shocking. All my teas and coffees. And then on my birthday this year, I had a check-in with my GP, and my weight hadn't gone down. So I was like, that's it. I'm not having teas and coffees anymore with milk. It's just ridiculous. It's like 1,000 calories a day or something. I was having in milk. So this is ridiculous. So now, and that was just before going into hospital with Xavier. And I'm just so grateful that I gave that up, because I was on a constant cycle of wanting the next drink. And, I was having drinks to fill the void of if I was hungry or if I wanted food or if something wasn't right, I'd just have a drink. It was like a comfort thing all the time. And it meant then when I was in hospital, I wasn't thinking about when my next drink would be, let alone food. But it was, then I was hooked on teas and coffees and when my next drink would be. Instead, I had a flask and I could put herbal teas in there and I could just sip it and it would last for hours because it was a thermal flask. So that was really amazing. I didn't think I'd be able to give them up. I've gone on to herbal teas so many times in my life for however long period, a couple of weeks or maybe slightly longer sometimes. But I'd always go back to the teas and coffees. And it was someone in this meeting who said to me, "Why do you keep going back?" And I was like, "Yeah, why do I keep going back? I don't know." But it stuck with me. And so this time I haven't gone back and I've stayed on the herbal teas. And it took about 4 months, but I really do enjoy them now. I enjoy the diversity and flavors. And when I go out, rather than thinking, "Oh, I'm so boring," I'm like, "Oh, what flavors have you got?" And I've always got a stash in my handbag for places where they don't have any. I'm not talking about the food, but it's all like parts of the food. It's all things that we're still take, or I'm st was still taking in my body that I didn't need. And the milk would cause my blood sugar levels to spike still. It wasn't like herbal teas are just mostly water and it doesn't do the same thing. And my sponsor, she lets me send her my food and she likes me to put the time. And when I was drinking teas and coffees, I had to put the teas and coffees as well. So it's partly due to her because I thought, well, I can't keep, I'd spend an hour a day typing in another tea, a coffee. So now it's much more simple. It's I have 3 meals and I have a snack and it's in the 4 things and that's all I send her at the end of the day. And it's not, it's not a chore, it's not a problem, and it helps me. So I got to the end of, or as I was on step 12, 11, 12, I was thinking, oh gosh, now what happens when I finish the steps? Then I need to be a sponsor and find a sponsee. And that was all a bit scary. But I think because of everything going on with my son, I didn't really have the headspace to panic about it or overly worry about it. I spoke to, I don't know, four or five people about it, and as well as in the meeting or the parking lot. And people just say, yeah, just do it. And I didn't really, yeah, I did. And my first sponsee didn't work out. We did it for like 2 or 3 weeks. But then my new sponsee seems to be going really well. So we talk each week and then she voice notes me during the week. And there's still progress to be made. Like there's things that I recommend that she does, which not happening yet, but it's all a journey. And I'm so grateful for my sponsor who's carried on supporting me through this journey of me becoming a sponsor, because it's obviously a big deal and it's all steps related and it's all quite, could be quite stressful. And so it could be potential for risk of breaking abstinence and all of that. And my sponsor's just been amazing. So we talk once a week and We've started voice noting in between as well, which is really, really lovely because I think a week's quite a long time to not talk to somebody or not hear their voice. So I'm so grateful every day for my phone and the internet and being able to connect with you all because
Five
we're literally
minutes.
around the world. Thank you. Around the world in this meeting, and in my opinion, it is the best meeting. And yeah, I just pray we don't ever lose the internet, so that we can all stay connected forever. The nine tools of recovery, of OA's recovery, I wanted to touch on because that was really big for me at the beginning. And it's really big for me now. The only thing I wonder why prayer isn't one of the nine tools, but maybe someone can tell me that one day. But the nine tools and the prayer is what keeps me going each day. Yeah, and the step, the steps 10, 11, 12, living in those. Every day a fresh day, and every day brings its new challenges, and it feels like going back to basics so often. But it's what works, and it's what's got me to where I am now, and with God's help and your help, and so I want to carry on really. That is all about what I've got to say, I think. Can I finish slightly early? Is that allowed? Thank you, everyone, for listening and for letting me share.